Hiya, I'm Chris, I'm the pastor here. It's good to see you. I've been pastor here now for 2 years, and I've been at this church nearly 30. And I thought that I had escaped the bullet marked pastor. Sort of a matrix, matrix moment, just over the top there, fantastic, missed it. But God had other ideas, and a call to be pastor came. And when I... Here's something. Often the clarity comes after the decision. The clarity comes after the obedience. Sometimes God is challenging you to do something, and you say, yeah, but what, when, how, why, what, and all that, which is good to ask. Mary asked those questions. Moses asked those questions. You've got to ask with the right heart. But it's good to ask those questions. However, sometimes God does not reveal that stuff until he gets the obedience. So sometimes the clarity comes after taking the step. And that's the faith bit. So you're stepping into the unknown. And God... It's almost like he says, right, now you're able to begin to receive some of the stuff that you couldn't on the other side of the obedience before. Because what we want is to know it all up front, don't we? God, tell me everything's going to happen and I'll sort it all out and then I can make a decision. And God says, I need you to do this. Trust me. If you can get hold of that, you could probably save yourself a lot of grief and maybe some wasted years. Because I didn't get that. Anyway, where were we? Yeah, so I said, okay, God, from a place of peace, I'll put my name forward, basically. I'll put myself through this. And then God gave me a sense. He started giving me a sense of what he could do here, of what is perhaps part of the vision for this place. And so I was in a very fortunate place. When I came to the church, I was able to say, this is what I believe. I believe I'm called, and this is what I believe I'm bringing, this vision. But please don't call me without the vision. You need to work through two things, really. Am I called? And is this the vision for Woody in this season? And the church discernment was yes. And I know that when I meet with other pastors, I'm very favored because some, you know, they're called, and then they have to work that through. And then they got 3 years of trying to work that through. And the vision is really quite simple. It's that we've been planted in this community. Woodville Church, a long time ago, what is it, 140 something, or I've lost count, not quite 200, more than 100, it was planted in this community. It's in this community, it's part of this community. What's happened over the years is that the church has lost its place in the community to a large extent. And so we have to start almost from scratch to earn the right to be heard. We have to earn that right. It was amazing. When we started HOTS, healing on the streets, we'd been involved in healing in the church for quite a while. We'd seen God do stuff in the church and everything. And it was amazing. We need to take this to the community. So we prayed about it for a year and we planned and everything. We got the stuff and we went outside and put a big banner up, healing. And we waited for people. And people didn't form queues. People carried on with their life. And honestly, there was a bit of me who was like, what's your problem? And I realized we've been ignoring them for decades. And we can't expect them to say, oh, at last you're here. Please pray for me, whatever. We have to earn it. There's a great sadness for this generation. We're passing on to the other generation less than we received. But God is a God of new beginnings. He's a God of surprises and he's a God of opportunities. And he's often the God of when it's at its worst. And I'm not saying it is at its worst in this country, because you look at some places around the world where the words of Jesus are really being brought home, you know, where Jesus, after that wonderful thing in Matthew where he says he gives you all the promises and don't worry, and then he promises that you will be persecuted. It doesn't seem so much part of the prosperity sort of thing. But it's clear you will be persecuted. And obviously in some parts of the world, people are being really persecuted for their faith. So we still have opportunity here. Doors may be closing, but we still have opportunity. So, the vision is basically quite simple. It's not really a vision. I know people here who are, you know, going to be, you know, do a lot of communication and so on. That they're going to say, well, that's not really a vision. It's a sort of strapline or whatever. I don't know. But if you like, it's intentions. It's what we want to be. It's what we want to be about. That's what we want to. Those are things sort of guiding us to love God, to worship God, to be available to God. To be, all of that comes out of that. To love each other. By your love for one another, they will know that you're my disciples. That's what Jesus said. It's a powerful, powerful thing, which is why the enemy tries to get us to disagree with each other and criticize one another and have a go at one another, because that's going to do exactly the opposite. I thought you were a Christian. What a damning statement. Has anybody ever said that to you? Just think, oh, I have blown that so badly. Sorry, Lord. Start with an apology. Be humble. And finally, love the community, which is the community we're in, Cates. Now, there's a wider thing there in the sense of community, because one of the things about this church is that in some ways it's got a donut structure in that a lot of people will come in from other areas. What often happens is people come to Cardiff University and think, oh, this is the best city in the world. Correct. And they said, we're going to stay here. And they have families here. As many of you have stayed and got families here, you get more prosperous. You move out from Cates into the suburbs. So you've got a lot of people out in the suburbs, in surrounding areas, and people come in. So really, it's the student population is the one most represented in terms of being nearer, you know, actually sown into this community, which is why it's so important that we work together as a fellowship. But you're in your own community. So what I want to challenge you today with, if you are part of the year, if I could call it the year-round church, if you're part of the core church here, that, you know, Cardiff is your base in that, then you may say, well, Chris, I am doing loads in my community. You know, I'm regularly meeting with neighbors. We started community stuff. Then that is fantastic. I want to be really careful. Churches should not be a place where you get burnt out doing stuff. That's not God's plan. You get burnt out doing stuff. But what I would say to you, I want to bless what you're doing in your communities. But if that is not happening, if that's not the season or you're not being able to do it or whatever, then I'd say some of what I say today, which is going to focus on Cates, might be stuff you want to take on board. Okay, so this is where we're planted. So just to go back to what Gary was saying, just to remind you. We've identified, out of the overall vision of trying to impact this community, which is an amazing community. It's a lot more to it than becomes apparent. And there's a time of favor coming now. Anyway, I'll hold that. We're looking at these priorities for this year. So, prayer, relationships, hearing from God. Praying for healing, connection with Cates community. The connections, I think, is a bit better because it's more of a doing thing. Community is a bit vague. We have to make connections. So prayer, Rob is coming because he preaches on prayer. He does seminars and conferences on prayer. Please do try and get to that. I'm prepared to be challenged. Relationships. That's key. That's one another, and how you manage healthy relationships and relationships to, you know, to others, and then hearing from God. I'm deliberately not using the word prophecy there because I don't want to freak some people out. Which if I say prophecy, I know what that is. Thus saith the Lord, and I don't do that, so I'm not. And that's about as wrong as you can get, because we've all got the Holy Spirit within us. Holy Spirit's been given, and we can all hear from God, and we are all able, if we can communicate, to share what we hear from God with others. And I hope that's a lot less threatening, but that's really what we're talking about. And that is so powerful. So, and then healing, you know, is it a God of healing, and how do we sort of do all that? So today is this is the first one. And the reason we wanted to do it this time of year is because we wanted to engage with the student community as they come back and as people are thinking about what to do. Which is why, I admit, planning-wise, I was disappointed that the marathon people didn't get in touch with me and say, Chris, what are you preaching on that day? Oh, perhaps we should move our marathon. But I've just become used to a high level of rudeness in the world at the moment and not really seeking to work together. So we may need to adapt. What are you going to do? All right, let's have some scripture. I just want to... Now, you it's going to be up there, but you do this the best way you can. If you want to close your eyes and just listen to the scripture, it's going to be a lot. I'm going to read two portions from the New Testament, and then I'm going to read the whole of Isaiah 58, because it was one of the cornerstone scriptures, sort of putting the vision together. And it remains one of the most powerful passages of the Old Testament. And, yeah, when we get to the end of the reading, I'm just going to take a moment and see what the Spirit's doing there. So I'm going to pray. Father, we now approach the reading of your word, Lord. Speak to us. Oh, Father, speak to us. Spirit of God, come. Spirit of God, come and speak to us through the word. Spirit of God, come on each of us individually to break up our hard hearts, to melt us, to open up our minds to you, Lord. Forgive us for the times we come to your word so critically and we're already analyzing it straight in. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you would work your word in us today, Lord. And if that's all we get from this session, then so be it, Father, if that's what you want to say. Well, Father, we thank you for your promise that you don't send out your word. You know, you send out your word and you don't want it to return to you void. Without doing its work. You send it out to do something, to come back. So, Father, would you speak into our hearts today, individually and as a fellowship, Lord? We need to hear from you. Amen. Okay, so first of all, Luke 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72. So after this is, after the 12 had gone out and done the kingdom stuff, blessing people, seeing people healed and telling them about the kingdom and stuff. He then appointed 72 others, and he sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go." I love that. You can see they're still working out. He goes, "Go. I am sending out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. And do not greet anyone on the road." Trust. Trust is right there, isn't it? "When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. And if not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you. For the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house." I love the way they have to test that. They have to go to the house to see if the peace is there. You have to go. You have to step out. You have to act. "And when you enter a town and you're welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you." Oh, isn't that so beautiful? Isn't that so simple? Oh, that we'd be walking in that. But that's what he's telling his disciples to do. Heal the sick who are there. Say the kingdom of God has come near to you. The Great Commission. Commission's too soft a word, isn't it, really? Command. This is what you're going to do, guys. So this is when the Lord, you know, this is right at the end of Matthew 28, the Lord risen, and this is what he leaves them with. "The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." It's amazing they put that in there, you know. It's incredible. People say, "Oh, people have messed with the Bible." Well, I think those things would have come out. They were worshiping. They said, I'm still not so sure about this. Is that... Park it, Chris. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority... Oh, glory to God. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Oh, that's our word again. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's quite simple, really, isn't it? Okay, like I said, Matthew 28. So now we're going to read through Isaiah 58. It's a full chapter. Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out, and they seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions, and they seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. You exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast that I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing your head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting that I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke. To set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, and the pointing of the finger, and the malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves, in behalf of the hungry, and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. And the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. And you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. That verse 10, and if you spend yourselves, that is a very challenging verse. It's not distant, it's not disconnected. It's a spending of self for others. It's a giving. It's really walking in what Jesus did. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's make a point there. We're in the new covenant. And in terms of a Sabbath, this is not a call to have a religious Sunday. This is about resting in God and making sure that you are found in God. It's what the Sabbath day was pointing to. Quite often I don't actually read this section because people can get distracted about, Sunday, mustn't do anything on Sunday. It's not what it's about. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. It points to Christ. But it's very important because it talks about the obedience, about not going your own way, not doing as you please. It's much wider than just religiously keeping a day. As with everything Christ said, it's about the whole of life. Anyway, I want to go back to, I flicked over this. This is the promise that comes on from there. You will be like a well-watered garden and like a spring whose waters never fail. I've got to get this time to come up here. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called repairer of broken walls and restorer of streets with dwellings. And this, I find that verse very powerful. I'll come back to that in a minute. And then there's the bit about the Sabbath. So there's that bit, repair of broken walls, restore of streets. And when I was first reading this, Isaiah 58, that was the thing that really, really stuck with me. Because the whole thing of why God wants us to be walking in that is for communities. It's not just so we can have a blessed life. The Lord wants to bless. Oh, he wants to bless. He wants to bless so much that we're not able to contain it. And that's when it pours out into communities. And just that picture, you know, we live in, wherever there are people, wherever there are streets, there are broken people and broken homes and broken stuff. There's broken stuff in our lives. But imagine that. Imagine being known as that, not as some big label or something, but just people in that fellowship are the people who repair brokenness. I'm sorry, every time I read this Isaiah 58, it breaks me because my life is so far away from what that word is saying. I do find that an incredibly challenging portion of Scripture. I'm just going to go back to let's just spend a moment on this verse before I get to the sort of practical, most of this message is application and practical stuff. I don't want to miss an opportunity for the Spirit to maybe wrestle with us a bit, individually, perhaps together. Okay. I do feel that we need to return to this word often, right? perhaps read a portion of this each time we go through this vision. I do feel this is a seminal word for us. I'd encourage you to just spend some time, perhaps this week, just open Isaiah 58 and say, Lord, you're speaking to me through this. Okay. Vision for Woody and Gates. That bit, that comes from the original, when I presented this as a vision originally, as part of the call process. It was tidy up, focus, step out. And the idea was the idea of getting this place ready. The Lord has blessed us with a fantastic building here. Such a fantastic, you know, tool, basically. It's a facility. And, you know, it's great to see more people using it. There's three other churches using it, our own deaf church, an African church, a Czech church. We're getting more inquiries, you know, from things. And I love that, the idea of it really, really being filled with stuff from the community. It's a blessing to the community. But for us, we've got to beware that it doesn't become a prison, a gilded cage. We'll stay in here and let people come into us. That is the wrong use of a building. Building is here to bless the community, and we are here to bless the community. So the idea was to tidy it up, get it all sorted, you know, get it noticeable, put the banners up, you know, actually be able to, people can find us, which they can more now, you know, and get our focus and see what it is we're supposed to be doing, and then step out. And I'm encouraged because I think we have done that. We've, you know, in terms of getting the place ready and getting understanding and working, getting our team sorted and that. I think we've got a bit of focus, and now we need to step out. Just want to do this quickly. Who do we serve? We serve Jesus. We serve Jesus, our Savior. It's very difficult holding the dynamic of a vision. When things go well, you know, you can so easily become proud. I think it's us. All glory to God. When things go badly, you know, think, okay, what are we doing? You have to go back to God. But we need to keep the focus that we're doing this for Jesus. We're doing this for Jesus. And when people sit there and say, oh, this is good, what you're doing, you know what you're doing. And here's just some thoughts, which again come from the original thing. The Lord is a God of love who wants to impact people and bring them to himself. And his primary model for this is the church. Okay? Not just Woody, hallelujah. But certainly Woody, hallelujah. And finally, he is a creative. I know this is just a bit of a thought bash. Just wanted to get some words on a creative, vibrant, community-centered God who wants his church to replicate those values in the community. And why I've put that in there, because what I'm going to be doing today is just outlining some ways you might want to serve. But he's a creative God. And my heart is that you would first of all say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And the Lord would give you some bonkers ideas. And you would say, let's do that. See, it's about being free in this. It's not about being constrained in what we do. But first of all, you have to get hold of the idea, yeah, God wants us to bless the community. He wants us to bless those around us. As the man said, it's not all about me. You individually are supposed to say that, because you can also say, yeah, it's not about you. Individually, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. Some principles, just to sort of put things in context again about the way we should, just some thoughts on living. In a sense, we don't need to go on mission. There's a lot to talk about. Mission, great, you know, you get a calling, people go away and do stuff. But we are on a mission. We've been called. God said, you know, go into all the world, make disciples, teach them what I've taught you. That's a spectrum of stuff. You start by just sharing. As Mike shared a while ago in the evening service a few weeks ago, he said, you know, you just say things like, when people say, what you do on the weekend, you're like, I mustn't tell them I went to church. And you just say, I went to church, and you just see what happens. You just start from where you are. Start from where you are, you move on. But you're on a mission in the sense that God has placed you among the people that you're with. To love people, you need to know them. You see, there's this thing, love community. What is that? It's just a blur. It's just a word. It's just a lot of buildings. If you're gonna show love, you need to know them first. That's basic, isn't it? Have you ever tried hugging a stranger? It doesn't go down well. I haven't. that I'm aware of. But don't try it. To love people, you need to know them. It's that thing about earning respect. You need to be earn the right to be alongside someone. Earn the right to be able to say, oh, I went to church or something. Woody needs to earn the right. And look, if you don't get anything else from today, you are a blessing. You are a blessing. You can feel absolute and rough as heck, but you are a blessing. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit of the living God inside you. And it doesn't matter whether you feel it or not. You are a blessing. You have God's hand upon you, you have God's favor. So you're a blessing. You carry the blessing of God where you go. The challenge is to work with that, to work in partnership with the Holy Spirit. But there's the starting place. You are a blessing already. Okay, some practical stuff. Get to know Cates. Now, this goes back to the thing I said earlier. Some of you work in your community, switch off, whatever. Just go back to thinking about Isaiah 58 and how you can pour yourself out. So we're talking about how this community now. We need to get to know it. Neighbors, if you're actually, you know, it's really good just to introduce yourself, find occasions, find ways to speak to your neighbors. Pray for the people in Cates. You get to know them first and you pray for them. Prayer walk, get to know the area. That's a bit of an obvious one, but prayer walking is amazing. Prayer walking in the area is amazing. Just see what you notice. Don't just rush past, see what you notice. And just start to look for those occasions when you can talk to people in whatever community you're in. I really want to encourage you by this, and I'm going to bang on about this. You'll think I'm getting a commission. I'm not getting a commission. I get discount in certain shops through my two-year project. But that's how you bless a business. You buy their stuff. And through buying their stuff, you might build up a relationship. And one day when you're talking to that guy, you might start to share a bit and say that his father is really ill. And you might, by that time, got to the place of relationship where you can say, shall I pray for your dad? And even as a Muslim, he may say, as Naz did, yes, please. And you have that moment. And I can't tell you what a privilege that is. And I had to buy a lot of noodles to get to that place. Am I just going to go into a shop straight off? These are business guys. These are busy guys. Thankfully, and they will have a recommendation later, Cattywalks do the most amazing noodles. So it wasn't so much of a sacrifice. If the Lord starts to minister them on the kebab shops, we're going to have an issue. But you have to decide to spend your dollar there. And I would say, I'm going to say this, resist the big names, bless local businesses. We got Costa, we got Starbucks, and we got all these guys around. We got loads of coffee shops up here. I will be doing this, coming back to this in a minute, but I think there's a principle. There he is, top, Cattywalk Naz. I'm just going to go through the shops. You're going to think, you're a crazy man. Hey, how long did it take you to work that out? All right, Support Solutions, Hassan and Lynn there, talking phones and computers and stuff. The Stag Empire, which is groomed for men. I get my hair cut there, but they do cool cuts as well. Stag Cafe, best flat white, but a bit expensive, but fantastic. Oh, anybody had a Stag breakfast? Come on, isn't it awesome? Absolutely awesome. The hot chocolate. Now, the thing with Stag, of course, is very popular. It's very trendy. It's so cool, you know, that sort of shabby chic stuff. You got to get there queuing at 5 in the morning. But there are certain times you get it. Either way, now we have opticians within the fellowship. I got in trouble for this, saying this last time. I had an empty eye case thrown at me. We have opticians within the fellowship. Claire runs a business. But there's, if you're stuck in Cates on the transport, how's that? There's a wonderful shop there, Eye to Eye, May and Leslie. There's the Hellenic Eatery with Mike and Pavlos. Oh, Sunday afternoons there. Fantastic. But they do cheap stuff. They do a souvlaki wrap. It's fantastic. I should blog this. Right. Kasturi, you know, we got lots of sort of curry houses. A lovely guy in there called Sam. Last time we went there, Jan and I were the only ones there. We talked ages about the mosque he goes to and the church and stuff. It's just, if you're not there, it's not going to happen. Now, this is pronounced Amisur. which I've been looking at. Now, this is AmiSur is one of the businesses the Koreans prayed in. Oh, God opened a door there. It was beautiful. It was actually beautiful. This is a new cafe up there. Really like to support with it. The leaders hopefully be doing their Christmas meal there. But it's a new venture. First year is absolutely crucial in new ventures. We see a lot of businesses get to 8-9 months, bang, they're gone. First year, if they can hang on for the first year, they got a bit of a chance. But yeah, that's really nice. Get your when your parents come, get them to take you there.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. I highly recommend it.
Thank you. And I will bring vouchers next week because at the moment they're doing a £5 breakfast with unlimited filter coffee. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Saffron, this is my new discovery. How many of you go to Saffron? Yeah, Saffron's building up a crew. Fantastic coffee. Try the Turkish breakfast. And you don't need to eat for 24 hours after a Turkish breakfast. Amazing. Evelina, the owner over there, is really good as well. And this is the place where Jackie went, and the owner's daughter said, I look forward so much to you guys coming in here. God is working by his spirit, but he does need his people to be working with him. I know some of you think this bonkers. You know what? I don't care. We have to start from where we are, and where we are is just doing this until we can really see what God wants to do. Touch Printers, Anne and Eric up the road, they're Christians. Dina's Computers, again, fixing stuff, selling stuff. Win and Phil. Phil goes to Highfields. Actually, those two businesses as well had prayer in them. Delicious Coffee, Farouk. This is right up the top. There's lovely cakes. Algerian guys. These guys, you know, they go. They've got these incredible life stories, and they set up these businesses, and we are part of the story there. Obviously, I don't have to tell you about Coco. You know, got to spread the love. Don't go to Coco all the time. Well, how do you afford it? But awesome. I'd say my favourites for coffee are Stag and Saffron, but Delicious do a good one as well. Sfago, fantastic Italian food. Another place for the parents. Get a parents list. Yeah. Fantastic. And quite often they'll do a two for £10 meal, which is pretty good. Right, and what I've done this morning, in fact, a bit later than I intended, there's a notice board in the cafe lounge. It looks more like a cafe these days, it's quite cool. But our lounge area there's a notice board there in the corner, which is just for Cathay's stuff. It just says Cathay's. It's a very, very poor graphic, done by a pastor who's still using Word things from 500 years ago or something. If you've got a nicer, funkier thing to stick on there, please do it. But anyway, this is the idea. If we get vouchers, there's just one thing up there at the moment from Support Solutions. We'll put them on there. So if you're thinking, where can we go, whatever, have a look at that. And I just want that sort of place where we can actually put leaflets and stuff. Practical. I'd encourage you to look for opportunities to serve. They've recently started. There is something going on in Cathay's at the moment. They've recently started litter picking. Howard's wife. Annette. I've only met her last week. Annette is on this for the litter picking. Keep Roth tidy. Get involved in your local litter picking group. Only one road of it. You're Roth people. Hey, Posh. Litter picking is amazing. It doesn't just pick up litter, you know what I mean? Yeah, all right, it's a great way to clean streets. I'll come back to this, but we did litter picking with the mosque. 10 of us did a day of litter picking with the mosque. It was fantastic. Because you start off as a big group and you're all together, and you end up in like twos and threes. But of course, it's not intense because you're not going, oh, so what's your life story? You're just picking up litter. So, got any kids? And you start chatting. And we were doing this and we're chatting away. And one of the guys from the mosque is just going, I'm chatting to Jan. I said, so Jan, have you always been a Christian? I rest my case. It's a two-way thing. You ask questions, you get asked questions. But litter picking's wonderful, and this is happening, isn't it? Basically, because Cardiff can't afford to keep the city clean anymore, so it's looking to the citizens. This is called opportunity. I'm not going into a big thing about how they got no money or whatever. You know, it's the settlement that they're given. But the opportunity is that citizens are being called to step up. So you can get alongside other citizens in Cathay's and do the litter picking stuff. Volunteer, we've had the food bank already. Liberty, see June, that's... I've got to bash through this sort of stuff, but there's work done. It is called Liberty, isn't it? I had a bit of a sort of senior moment there. See June about sort of praying for... Well, basically, you know, we're praying for women trapped in the sex trade in the area. So, I mean, those guys do amazing stuff, and they need prayer support, and they do train up people as visitors and that sort of thing. But it's in this area, because there's so many broken people just outside the door. And I know it sounds stupid, all this cafe stuff and all that, but that's how you become, that's how you raise a profile in a community. One of the ways. Little Acorn, Cianabel, doing a great thing, getting involved in local charity shops like Ruth and Jan, a man over there. There's going to be, see Sophie about this, it's going to be a meal for Corner House students. I'm not doing, I know there's loads of student red frogs and all that, I know there's lots of that, but I'm letting you sort of do that bit, yeah? I'm just doing the sort of bigger thing, and within that there's lots of student stuff, feeding flats, red frogs. Sophie and the team will sort you out on that, but there's a particular one which is doing a meal for new guys just going on there. And I go back to my point about being creative. These are just ideas. You know, the whole thing with the mosque just started. I went to an Abrahamic evening, just thought, what's going on here, see what happens. I got to know a few people. Just seek God and be creative. Now, guys, I need to tell you that you're in a community with not so much high in numbers. Some of you may be from parts of the country where there are very high numbers of Muslims. But it's a strategic community. We've got a center for Islamic education and the proliferation of the Quran and stuff just over the bridge. We've got a range of mosques going from quite strong, quite militant, through to quite moderate, very friendly. And those are the guys we work with, Darul Isra Mosque. It's a very strategic place. We've got Muslim bookshops on Islam. There's a lot going on here. But God knew all that. We're planted here. The Muslims, oh, they're dear people. These are people who pray five times a day. God, show me the way. Please don't get caught up in the whole thing of Islam. I am trying to change my language to talk about Muslims and not Islam. Because Islam, that's a massive thing. Muslims are people made in the image of God who are searching, who don't know until the moment after death what their eternal destiny will be when Allah has the scales. Okay, I'm going to pull that back in there. Let's pray for Mo, key guy at Darul Isra. Bridges to Communities is an organization, a Christian. It's run by Christians, but it's got no faith front. It seeks simply to bring people together for meals. I really want to explore this for us at Woody. Little Picking, we did that. It was great. Here's the thing. Just talk to me about this. I am trying to gauge what is going on in terms of the spirit and our connection to the community of Muslims around here. And I'm just trying to gauge it. And a few people have come to me and said, oh, I've been reading, I've had a conversation. I don't think this is for the whole church, but I think some of you will just find that this is coming on your radar. And it's those people I just like to get together with and say, well, what can we do with this? Don't feel guilty. Don't think, you know, oh, I've got to get involved. Talk to the Holy Spirit and He will guide you. But to me, this is clearly on the radar. Here's some encouragements. Recently, just through chatting people in the community and another guy involved in the community, we set up something called the Qataiz Community and Business Forum. And it was amazing. We had 20 businesses there. And they decided to form this thing. And people were saying, we've tried for years to do this. We hosted it here. They asked me to chair just because I knew people in the community and stuff. So we've actually started this. And already we're looking at doing a spring fair in the school. There were links made. Amazing. And doing, you know, communication stuff for that. And we're meeting on the Monday the 10th of October. And if you want to volunteer to do tea and coffee and host, that would be good. I need a small team there. But this could have a lot of potential. It could, all sorts of stuff could come out of that as a way of getting to know the community wider. So if you're interested in that, let me know. We had the Korean churches came over. They got into four businesses to pray. More than that, they've taken all that information back to Korea, and they are praying for us faithfully, week by week. They're praying for Woody. They're praying for Katayes. Starting to work a bit with Pentirk Street Baptist Church and Rob Morse, who'll be preaching in a few, well, beginning of December, to share his vision. So be able to catch up with that. And pastors in the area have started praying together. Okay, so that's it, really. That's just the practical stuff. There's some encouragement. I want to end with this. There's the thought. Whenever you come to a new situation, whenever you think, okay, isn't it amazing the tunes that people choose? And then share it. Okay, can I just have you back for a minute? I know I've run on here. You're thinking, right, this is a huge challenge. We've got a community to reach, a whole community. You know, going from, you know, first years to all the student thing, old people, ill people, businesses doing stuff, dodgy stuff, pubs, all sorts of stuff going on here. Now, come on, guys. Turn the phones off. All sorts of things going on. But here's the thing. Program is not the number one priority. Relationship is the number one priority. People are the number one priority. Nobody wants a program done to them. Nobody's looking at the church to go, that may come as we earn the right. It may be, you know, that we come with specific strategic stuff to do. But please, please say, God, what relationships are you looking, you know, for me to do in this community? It's about, that's the bottom line. And that's what the Lord is about. Okay, thank you.